I'd forgotten what I sent about myself. There are people here who will vouch for the fact that my sermons are longer than 5 minutes now. Tim, you got any idea how many's here? Not a preacher's count, an honest count.
3,000, I think.
Well, it is a good turnout for your second year. 2 years ago, when I was here to speak at C Street, I was brought over to speak at the men and preachers gathering, except that I didn't know I was going to speak until I got here, and I didn't have anything to say, so I talked about, among other things, our men's fellowship in South Carolina, and it kind of caught on with some of the folks that were there, and they decided to develop this, and I'm thankful for it. The last four years, we have run just over or just under 600 men gathered together for that program. Several of you that are here today have been a part of that, and we'd like for all of you to come. Of course, you may have to sit outside if we get many more because facilities are running out, but it's worked great, and we're coming up on our 20th year, and I am thankful that it has been a success every year. Usually even the weather's good, and it's worked out fine. My subject, simple wording, step up and step out. And I'm thankful that the leadership here at Central decided to step up and step out for this program. I'm basing what I'm talking about, partly at least, on the story of Moses and his being called to step up and step out. It appears that Moses was going about his daily business of tending sheep, just like he'd been doing for 40 years. He'd once been a prince down in Egypt, but he was now living in a remote, insignificant part of the world where I suppose nobody thought anything really big was ever going to happen. There'd been a time when he really cared about his people, the Israelites, and they were in cruel bondage, and he knew that, but he was away from that, and he was living a different life now. 40 years ago, he had had some ambition about it, and he had courage, and he had tried to be of help, but it didn't work out. And now, for 40 years, he had had just an ordinary life of counting sheep. You know, when you can't go to sleep, that's how you try to make yourself go to sleep, counting sheep. I'm saying that it looks to me like he was leading a pretty dull life and just going along. And he didn't even own the sheep. They were the sheep of his father-in-law. You know, of course, God spoke to him from a burning bush. That was a miracle. It hasn't happened to anybody since. I'm a little surprised that some TV evangelist hasn't at some time claimed that he was spoken to by a burning bush, but I haven't heard that yet. Yet I want to suggest to you, not in some miraculous or some very dramatic way, but I want to suggest to you that all of us in the Lord's service from time to time encounter a burning bush. Not something literal, but I'm talking about something that arises from the providence of God, from the circumstances that we're in, or maybe what somebody even suggests to us or asks us to do, that come before us as opportunities to do something that is really significant, something that's really great, as was the case of Moses when the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush. Now, you know the story, of course, back in third and fourth chapters of Exodus when the Lord did speak to him. In our Sunday school classes, of course, when we cover this, I think that every teacher wants to make it clear that it was not good that Moses was making excuses. He made several excuses, and usually there's a Bible story, maybe a sermon, just based on the excuses that Moses made. But I'll be frank with you, I'm very sympathetic with the excuses he made when you consider where he was. If I may just paraphrase him some, immediately he couldn't go on this mission. He couldn't use this opportunity because he said, God, I don't know very much about you. I don't even know your name. And sometimes we hesitate in some of the opportunities presented to us because we feel like we don't know enough about God or about his word or about how to use the scriptures. We never know enough, but we need to prepare and be as able to teach as we possibly can. Sometimes folks that I have known who have been very successful in leading other people to Christ have been people who didn't know how to explain a lot of theology. They maybe knew a few simple things like you need the Lord and you need to learn what the Bible teaches, and if you'll just come and let Brother so-and-so preach to you, maybe you'll get it. And sometimes those are people that are using opportunities better than those that at least think they're better prepared. Well, Moses, of course, said, he couldn't go down to Egypt because nobody's going to listen to me. He's persuaded that they just won't pay attention. After all, he had supposed that they would want him to be their leader 40 years ago, and they didn't want him then. That's why he had to go to the land of Midian. And then he wasn't a good speaker. He told the Lord, I'm not a good speaker. Can you just imagine that in your own language? Lord, I'm not a public speaker, and you want me to go down there and talk to 500,000 people? I can't do anything like that. And, of course, he made the excuse of all, and which is so often the excuse. He said, Lord, wouldn't it be better if you got somebody else to do it? And that, if you go back and read the text, that's when the Lord really got angry. That was going too far when he made that excuse. The Lord had taken care of the other excuses, and yet it indicates that this was something that was unacceptable. Don't you think that that's an excuse that God gets tired of hearing from us? Yes. Let somebody else do it. So many things are left undone that could be done in the Lord's service. And we think they ought to be done, but we want to let somebody else do it. You know, what's everybody's business becomes nobody's business. When there's something that needs to be done, there's somebody that's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. And nothing's ever accomplished by passing the buck. Sometimes I have to say, you have to say, the buck stops here. And quit making these excuses. It's time to use the title, step up and step out. It took strong persuasion to convince Moses that actually God was not giving him a job so much as he was giving him an opportunity. You see, we ought to look at the responsibilities that come before us as not just responsibilities, they are opportunities. And here was an opportunity for Moses to accomplish more for his people than had ever been accomplished by anyone. Here was an opportunity for Moses to become a great leader, for him to be, as the scriptures would explain it to be the greatest of all the prophets. Sometimes we need to quit thinking so much in terms of duty and think instead of opportunity. And when there is opportunity, another way to say step up and step out is to say, as we often express it, seize the moment. A little humor along that line. There was a soldier, a private, traveling with his commanding officer on a certain assignment. And they got on a train that was crowded, and the only seat they could find was a bench seat facing another bench seat, four people facing each other, and they sat down, and this officer, this commanding officer and this private sat down, and across from them was a grandmother with a beautiful daughter, her granddaughter. And right away, the young soldier began to kind of look at the girl, and she began, you know, that kind of thing happens sometimes, and they obviously were kind of attracted to each other, but there wasn't much else. I mean, you know, this wasn't a formal introduction or anything. They were just riding along, but you know, the train went through a tunnel, and it got totally dark inside that train. And this private decided he needed to seize the moment. And in the darkness, there was a sound of a smack of a kiss. And immediately after it, the whack of a slap across the face. And the grandmother thought, the nerve of that young man, he kissed my granddaughter. But at least she slapped him for it. And the commanding officer was thinking, I can't really blame this boy for wanting to kiss that pretty girl, but I'm sorry that she missed him and slapped me instead. And the pretty girl, she was thinking, I kind of like that. And when they came into the light, the young soldier was grinning, because he had seized the moment, he had kissed a beautiful girl, and he had slapped his commanding officer, and he got away with both of them. So sometimes, you've just got to seize the moment. The Bible tells us to take our opportunities, making the best use of our time, because the days are evil, the Apostle Paul said. Church at Philadelphia was told by the Lord, I've set before you an open door. That's opportunity. Paul, on different occasions, reported concerning his situation by saying, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Galatians 6 and verse 10, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith. Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, that do with all your might. Well, the Lord said to Moses, come now and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Moses was saying, Lord, don't ask me to do this. I'm just an ordinary man. I'd like to underscore that expression, ordinary man. When it comes to big opportunities, big responsibilities, it may be that we think, why me? Because I'm not anybody great. I'm just an ordinary man. Brothers, we need to quit being satisfied to be mediocre. And recognize that there's true success when we do the big things that the Lord gives opportunity for us to do. Sometimes it's a matter of perspective. I heard about a man that went fishing. He fished all afternoon, and he was busy because he caught a whole bucket full of little old bluegills, little sunfish, you know, just like that. But he kept them. He had a bucket full. When he pulled up on the shore and got out, he looked over at a buddy of his that had been fishing in another boat, and the guy had a stringer, and he had a 2-foot bass. And the guy with the bucket, he said, "Well, you only caught one today, did you?" See, he was happy. He was happy with just being mediocre with his bucket of bluegill. Well, there was a time in his youth when Moses had thought he could do something. He was a prince. He was educated. He no doubt was trained in the way of warfare. He had money. He had power. And he tried to do something heroic, and it didn't work out. Now, sometimes maybe we won't use the opportunities we have because we think of the times when we tried something and we didn't do as well as we thought we ought to do. You see, there was a time when Moses had a passion for doing something. And folks, in Christian service, it takes some passion. And sometimes we let our passion die and we won't step up and step out. Now, Moses was married. He had children. He'd been tending sheep for 40 years in the desert land, and as I said, he didn't even own the sheep. And so he thought he was just an ordinary man. And an ordinary man couldn't do what God wanted him to do. Not only that, he had already lived 2/3 of his life. He was 80. And I guess if we tried to make some comparison, that'd be well into middle age for any of us. And, his life was already set. Can't you see that I'm just an ordinary man? Moses became the greatest of the prophets. But he was great because God is great. Right quickly. Let's always remember the great I am still is, and he's still great. What Moses wanted to do in his youth and failed, God would do on God's own schedule. Moses didn't have an army, but one man and God is a majority in any fight. There wasn't much that Moses could do in Pharaoh's court. No, there wasn't much he could do in Pharaoh's court. But the point is, he was there, and God was there with him. God calls for ordinary people to do big things, to step up and step out. Thank you.